Morning, we're continuing with our ongoing reading of Sri Vrihat Bhagavatamrita. First part, chapter 7, Purna, incomplete perfection. We're going to begin reading from text 65. Krishna is being reminded by his brother, Balaram. It's a little bit, Krishna is being reminded by his elder brother, Balaram, who he is. This may be surprising to some and unbelievable to others, but Krishna sometimes forgets who he is. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes that Krishna is both, or points out rather, that Krishna is both mudagdha and sarvagya. He's all knowing, and at the same time he can become bewildered. He doesn't come bewildered in the same way for the same reason that a conditioned soul becomes bewildered. Being unlimited, he's never out of control. He always knows everything. But in order to facilitate transcendental loving exchanges with his devotees, especially the devotees who are spontaneously attracted to him in Vrindavan, in Braj, he sometimes, by the power, by the influence of his yoga maya, of his internal energy, the pastime energy of the Lord, he sometimes forgets. And this is what happened. He was in Dwarka, and we all know, as I spoke yesterday, that when Krishna enters or leaves Vrindavan and goes to Mathura and Dwarka in the Prakat Lila, in his earthly pastimes, in the pastimes that are visible to everyone, even liberated soul, even non-liberated souls could see Krishna when he appeared on the earth 5,000 years ago in his Prakat Lila. So when he appears to go out of Vrindavan, he actually stays in Vrindavan in his bhava expansion, in his bhava form feature. There's a unmanifest lila going on constantly in Vrindavan. It never stops, as there are in Dwarka and Mathura. Those holy dhams are eternal, and they are eternally here. Even when they get covered, they are still present, but just unmanifest to the eyes of the ordinary conditioned souls. So in Prakat Lila, when Krishna, it appears like Krishna's going from Vrindavan to Mathura and then to Dwarka. But actually, it's his expansions that go. But unlike some commentators who don't understand the science of devotional service, comment that it's a different Krishna that goes to Mathura and a different Krishna that goes to Dwarka, because he exhibits different qualities. He doesn't display all of the same features and all of the same emotions and all of the same loving exchanges that he exhibits in Vrindavan. So people misunderstand that and they think that it's a different Krishna. But it's not a different Krishna. It's Krishna. It's an expansion of himself that enters Mathura and enters Dwarka. But by choice and by the influence of the love of the devotees in Mathura and Dwarka, he acts differently. So this is what's happening here. He's in Dwarka. This is Vasudeva Krishna in Dwarka. But still, because he's the same Krishna, he remembers the Vrajvasis. If he was a different person, then he wouldn't remember the Vrajvasis. He's the same person. So he remembers the Vrajvasis and he becomes very emotional because he is very attached to the Vrajvasis as they are to him. And in that attachment, he became very emotional, and we know the story. I keep kind of repeating it and summarizing it in these lectures for different people who come in new, who are not, haven't heard the story all the way up to where we're reading. But Krishna became so, at this point, at one point, he became so emotional and so upset, feeling separation, that he lost consciousness, actually. He forgot. He lost consciousness, Krishna. And Lord Brahma, and that caused everyone to become upset because he had never done that before. And Lord Brahma came to find out what the great disturbance was. And with his extreme intelligence, he devised a plan that Krishna and Balaram be taken to New Vrindavan, which is a replica of Vrindavan, constructed by Vishwakarma, to give Krishna a place to go when he was feeling separation from Braj. So he was, Balaram and Krishna were taken there. Everything was just as it was in Vrindavan, except that the residents of Vrindavan were dairamas. They weren't real Vrajvasis. They were just deities. Krishna interacted with them and then finally realized when he came to the bay of the ocean where Dwarka is located, and he realized that this is not the Jamuna and he was in a different place, and he began then to wake up. Wake up means his consciousness began to become back to normal, his Vasu stage state. His normal condition in Dwarka is Vasudeva Krishna, who has mission to fulfill, to deliver the world, kill the demons, and act as a saintly, as the perfect king. So Balaram is with him, and he's realizing, oh yeah, now he's beginning to wake up, the plan of Brahma is working, and Krishna's coming back to his normal state of consciousness, where he's going to be able to conduct his mission. So he is encouraging Krishna. And finally, when Krishna realizes what had happened, then he actually smiles. He actually laughs at himself. This is where we ended up yesterday. That Krishna actually laughs at himself. He thinks it's very humorous that he's acting like a cowherd boy and that this whole pastime has been put on in order just to bring him back to its original consciousness. And, you know, embarrassed he was, also surprised, and he thought it was funny. So we're going to begin now with text 66. Kito. Haladara smitva tadiya hridayangama sarvam brahmakritam tasya katayat tat sahetukam. His brother Balaram understood what Krishna was thinking. Smiling, Balaram explained that this was all Brahma's arrangement and told Krishna the reasons why it had been done. Commentary, Digdarshini, Samantha Goswami. Having ascertained from Krishna's laughter that Krishna had finally calmed down, Balaram was able to explain to him how Brahma had planned this scheme to bring him back to normal and how Garuda and the others had carried out the plan. So this is a very interesting point being made here, that Balaram could see that Krishna was back in his normal state because he was smiling and laughing. Actually, the natural state of the soul is the same as Krishna. The soul is made Satchit Ananda Vigraha. He's made of Satchit and Ananda. And Ananda means pleasure. Means that the soul is actually by nature full of pleasure. The soul is by nature blissful. Prasanatma, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Prasanatma, nashochati nakam. The soul is actually, by nature, joyful. He doesn't lament, he doesn't hanker for the material things. So one may question, then what is all this hankering about? In the seventh chapter of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which is explaining the highest truth, the highest loving exchanges between God and His devotees. Why all this hankering? Why all this crying? Why all this lamenting? Because this is not Shochitina Kamchati. This is not crying and lamenting and hankering over things in the material world that we have not gotten yet, but that we want, or that we've obtained and then lost. Brahma-bhuta prasanatma nashochati nakamshati. Symptom of a liberated soul is he's joyful. Later on, when higher states of ecstasy come, the person may, a devotee may exhibit lamentation and tears and all these things. But that is a result of intense separation from Krishna, and the ecstasy that is felt inside is even more high and even more pleasurable than the pleasure he feels in meeting Krishna. So we should not think that the lamentation and things that are going on here, the emotional states that are being described, are material. And we should also understand that we cannot imitate them. And that in the beginning, first, we should know that devotional service begins from the place of liberation. You have to be first liberated before you can actually perform devotional service. And one of the symptoms is nishochati, nakamshati. The devotee is joyful. He can laugh at himself. He can laugh at the ridiculousness of this material form and this material body and all the things that he has to go through. And therefore, Balaram, because this is Naralila. This is Naralila. This is Krishna's human-like pastimes. He's acting as if he's human. So we can learn from these Naralilas how we're supposed to behave, how we're supposed to think, how we're supposed to feel. So the fact is that even the mother, let's say for instance the mother with a child, if this child is in some difficulty, it's crying, having trouble, you know, and the mother does the needful, either gives the breast, or if it's a very young child, baby, gives the breast, and to see, you know, and if the baby takes the breast nicely, and then she'll go like this, and then the baby will smile. And then she'll let his head off. Now he's alright. Now he's okay. Or sometimes if we have a friend, and the friend is in trouble, and we're trying to cheer him up, huh? In English we say, cheer up someone. And then when we see that he's okay again, then he smiles. Yeah, okay. And he smiles. It is natural. So when we see devotees always like this, you know, struggling, you know, feeling bad, you know, feeling like the service is a burden, don't give me one more thing to do, otherwise I'm going, you know, this mentality, we can understand the person's not well. A person's not well spiritually. If a person is well spiritually, they will be joyful. By nature, in general, they'll be joyful. They won't be overly disturbed. One. And here, even in Krishna, we're seeing Balaram. He's seeing that Krishna is okay now because he's smiling and laughing. It's natural. It is natural for the soul. And the soul is feeling, when he's in his natural position, he feels comfortable and he smiles. Therefore, 10th canto Srimad Bhagavatam is called the smiling face of Krishna. It represents the smiling face of Krishna. And we, as devotees, our goal is to see that smile. Our goal is to satisfy Krishna. See Krishna's smile. When we come in and we look at the deities and everything's done very nicely with love and devotion and everything's being done nice, you see the deities, they look nice. They're smiling, they have a nice atmosphere. And you can see, actually, the deity's face will change if something is not right. Srila Prabhupada used to come in and take darshan of the deities, and he would say whether or not things were okay by having looked at the deities. And then we were always looking, you know, to please Srila Prabhupada. And all of our endeavors were to see that, to have Prabhupada come and smile. And ultimately, we should do that with one another. We should want to serve and please one another and interact with one another. Of course, it's different. You know, we may differently act with people who are our subordinates. We may act differently with people who are equals. We may act differently with people who are our superiors. But in general, the principle is that we want to please. We want to see everyone, whether the person is our inferior, whether the person is our equal, or whether the person is our superior. We want to see them comfortable. We want to see them happy and smiling. We don't want to see a sad face. We don't want to see somebody unhappy and suffering all the time. Actually, the symptom of a Vaishnava is paradukha-dukhi. The Vaishnava is actually unhappy when he sees others unhappy. Not that he's unhappy because he's unhappy. Vaishnava is unhappy when he sees others happy. And it's not that the Vaishnava feels happy when he's okay and everybody else can go to hell for all he cares. No. The Vaishnava becomes happy when he sees other people happy. This is the service attitude of a Vaishnava. And here in Nara Lila, Krishna is exhibiting that same service attitude. And the same human qualities, the qualities of the soul. Therefore, Balaram is seeing, oh, Krishna is smiling, therefore he's okay. Now everything is alright, because he's smiling, he's happy. Tito vrina iva jeshta mukham pashyam smitam chita ramineiro vartite tatram dhau Snapito Dulido Shana. Krishna then looked at his brother's face and smiled as if embarrassed. And since Krishna's body was covered with dust, Balaram wiped him clean and bathed him in the sea. Commentary. As indicated by the word Iva, Krishna had no reason to be embarrassed. His behavior all along had been totally praiseworthy. In Krishna's own words to Uddhava, Jagupsa, fear, akarmasu, real modesty means disgust, being disgusted with improper acts. Bhagavatam 11:19-40. If one has indulged in illicit acts, one should feel shame and condemn one's own wrong behavior. But Krishna felt no shame. He simply looked at Balaram and smiled. Balaram took care to wipe the dust off Krishna, dust most likely picked up while Krishna was herding the cows in the manufactured Vrindavan, or else earlier, while Krishna was rolling around inside the palace in his uncontrollable ecstasy. So here is the same point being made again and again. He's smiling because he feels embarrassed. You see, if a person is properly situated in spiritual life, if a person is actually pure in heart, then when he does something wrong, then he feels bad about it. But if a person's in material consciousness, if a person's in selfish consciousness, then he may do something bad, he may do something wrong, he may do something to put another person in anxiety, but he won't feel bad about it. Actually, he'll take pleasure in seeing the other person in anxiety, in difficulty. Because this is the nature of material existence, that each one of us is trying to lord it over the material nature. We are trying to imitate Krishna. We are trying to become the Lord of a place, the Lord of a family, the Lord of a government, the Lord of another person, somehow or other. All of us are trying to lord it over the other person, whatever our relationships are. This is material consciousness. And so when we become embarrassed, like when we do something silly or stupid or wrong, you know, that embarrassment causes us to suffer and our face goes blue. But when one is in liberated consciousness, then if he does something, because everybody does things, there's no one, liberated or not, that doesn't do things that are foolish. And here we see the proof. Even Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Liberated Soul, you know, is acting like a coward boy when actually he's a king. And he's having to go through this whole lila in order to get woken up from forgetfulness of his real position. And so he smiles, he says, yes. So this is the way we should be. When it's pointed out to us that we've done something wrong, or we've done something foolish, or not so mature, or selfish, or whatever, we should smile. We should laugh at ourselves. We should laugh at ourselves. But if we're taking ourselves too seriously, means, you know, we're thinking that we're something special, we're proud, and we're thinking we're something special, then when it's pointed out to us that we've made a mistake, or we've done something that needs to be corrected, then we just get angry. Therefore, if you try to give instructions to a materially conditioned person, he'll only get angry. He'll never take it nicely and then adjust. A materially conditioned person wants everyone to adjust around him. He's fixed, and everyone else has to adjust around him. But a liberated soul wants to adjust to others. And therefore, when you're around liberated personalities, you feel good. You feel good about yourself. I remember when we were around Srila Prabhupada, he was so exalted, he was so heavy, but when you came around him, you felt good about yourself. Because he valued everyone as being parts of Krishna. This is real spiritual vision, to see that everyone's actually a part of Krishna. Not just me, or my loved one, or my friend, or, you know, the group that I'm living with, or whatever. Everyone is a part of Krishna. Everyone is a part of Krishna. So when we see someone, you know, even out there, if we see someone who's suffering, we will feel bad. I remember Srila Prabhupada came to... I wasn't there, but I heard from Brahmananda, who was there at the time. He came to see the Soho Street Temple in London, downtown London. They had just gotten there. They were going to move from Bury Place, and Prabhupada was not well, so he didn't go and actually go to the building, but he came and saw the building, saw the location, saw the building, and he approved. He approved the purchase of that building. And Ramananda told me that when they were going out, you know, the location of the So Street Temple is just off of Oxford Street, which is a major street of the world. Fifth Avenue, New York, Oxford Street, London. These are the two major streets of the world. There's so many people on this street, not just from that city, all over the world. Most cosmopolitan places in the world, Oxford Street. So the car went out from So Street and got onto Oxford Street, and there were just so many people. And it is the place where everyone comes to find out the newest thing, to buy the newest thing, you know. They go out and they spend days and weeks and months looking through all the shops, billions of things, just to get one thing that they can afford. And their minds are completely in anxiety the whole time because, you know, they have to decide one thing that they can get out of a billion things. You can imagine how many things they find that they want. At least hundreds of thousands. And they can only get one. So they're all completely in anxiety and they're looking at each other trying to get sense gratification and they're like... And Srila Prabhupada looked at this and he started to cry. He actually started to cry. Tears were pouring out of his eyes. And Brahmananda was thinking maybe something was wrong, his health wasn't good, maybe he was suffering. And Prabhupada just said, just look at these people. Look at how they're suffering. How can we tolerate this? How can we tolerate seeing other people suffer like this? So Prabhupada, the Vaishnava, the liberated soul, feels like this, even toward ordinary people, if he sees them suffering. But Krishna, he has no reason to be embarrassed. He has no reason to suffer on anyone's account for any reason. He's completely transcendental. But he feels these things. We are parts of Krishna. We are also underneath our material covering. We are spiritual beings. And Krishna is the supreme spiritual being. And when we analyze ourselves inside, just like now I'm getting older, right? My body's approaching 60, so I'm older. But inside I don't feel any different at all. I feel exactly the same. And you'll see, you're all a little younger, but as you grow older, you'll feel exactly the same. You won't be able to do the same things, you won't be able to run, you won't be able to jump, you won't be able to enjoy in the same way, but we feel the same inside, exactly the same. It's because we're spiritual. We're actually spiritual beings. We're not the body. So being part of the supreme spiritual being, if you want to understand who Krishna is, then you analyze, go deep inside yourself and analyze, you know, what are your hankerings, what are your deep aspirations spiritually, and you'll see that Krishna, you know, you analyze your being, and you'll see that if you extrapolate is a big word, English word. It means if you apply that to Krishna, you'll see that he has all the qualities that you have, more, and but unlimited. Where you have just one little thing. So you have the capacity to enjoy just a little tiny bit. But Krishna, he has the capacity to enjoy unlimited. So, in this way, by hearing about Krishna's personal dealings, especially in Goloka Vrindavan, especially in his Prakat Lila, we can actually understand who we are, as well as who Krishna is. And we need to adjust. We need to adjust ourselves. Not that we need to adjust everything around us so that we're happy. We need to adjust ourselves so that we can be happy under any circumstances. Then we will liberate. So here Krishna has gone through this whole ritual, this whole drama that Brahma has organized and Balaram and everyone has participated in. And now he's realizing, oh, this was just a drama. And they did this all, this had to be done for me because I was in this state, normal, not normal state. But he didn't feel embarrassed, he smiled. He was embarrassed, but he was smiled. and Balaram took care. Krishna was all dusty from rolling around in the palace and, you know, herding the cows and, you know, doing a job. And so Balaram very carefully cleaned him, bathed him in the ocean. Tadinam tadanim evasam praptam bhagavad bhavakovidam arukhya lakshitas taksham nijaprasadam agatam. At that moment, Garuda arrived. Because he understood the Lord's moods perfectly well, Krishna mounted him and returned unseen to his palace. So this is the nature of elevated devotional service. Garuda was not asked by Krishna to come there and take him back to the palace. He knew. Because he knew the mind of his master. Again, another symptom of elevated devotional service and elevated service in general is that one knows what the person or persons that he's serving likes. And then he makes arrangements without being told, without being asked. He makes arrangements. And that way, the person that's being served becomes very pleased. And when the person's pleased, then we become pleased, and then the whole atmosphere becomes pleased. But when we're in material consciousness, it's just the opposite. We're just trying to please ourselves, and anybody that interferes with my pleasure causes me to be in anxiety and get angry, and then the whole atmosphere becomes surcharged with opposition. That's what the material atmosphere is. It is surcharged with opposition. It is not loving, it is just the opposite. It is selfish. The difference between the spiritual world and the material world is that in the material world, everyone is selfish. Raga dvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyaschara aparasha vidyatma kisana parigachti. We need Krishna's mercy in order to overcome the influence of material nature. We are not free from the influence of material nature. Otherwise, we would be exhibiting all these symptoms all the time. We would not become negatively affected by the behavior of others. We would be fixed, joyful. Or, if we were in limitation, our thoughts would be filled with Krishna constantly. So we have to know. We have to know and accept where we are. We can't be pretending to be something we're not, or hankering to be something that we're not. We have to accept who we are. We have to accept the state that we're in. And we have to adjust ourselves in order to go forward. And the first adjustment that needs to be made for a person to be serious about devotional service is the awakening of the service mood, the service attitude. And that attitude is, we look at the persons we're serving, person or persons we're serving, and we see what makes them happy, and we adjust without being asked. Not that when someone asks us to do something extra, we become upset and angry and go away. No, we're eager to do more and more because we're eager to please. We're no longer trying to please ourselves. We're trying to please Krishna. And we're trying to please our spiritual master. And we're trying to please the devotees. Krishna's devotees. Therefore, Garuda arrived instantaneously. When Krishna needed to go back to the palace, there was Garuda. Anticipating the mind of Krishna, he appeared. He didn't have to wait be called, and then wait, you know, and wait, and wait, where is he? Not that Garuda is thinking, oh, you know, Krishna's going to disturb my, anyway, he can wait, I have something to do more important. Text 69. Sarvagino Dittaminata Devaki Rukmini Mukha Prabhojyanta Pude Devyo Bhagavat Harshamapitara. The all-knowing Uddhava informed Devaki, Rukmini, and the others what was happening. He brought all the queens back to the palace to Lord Krishna's side. Commentary. Uddhava arranged for the gossip monger Padmavati to attend to some business elsewhere, because she would be out of place in the confidential discussions about to begin. So this is an extremely important point. If we want to be accepted by Krishna, if we want to be accepted by Krishna's advanced devotees, means if we want to be confidential, if we want to have confidential friends, confidential relationships, then we have to stop this gossip mongering. Gossip mongering means you talk about other people behind their backs. Means when you're in front of the person, you smile and you touch the feet and you make all devotional. And then in the back, you say this and that and this and that. Your real feelings are not being expressed. It's a show. It's a show. In that mentality, you cannot have genuine relationships with others. You cannot have confidential relationships with others. You will live your life trying to keep other people out of your heart. Materialistic people spend their whole lives trying to keep those secrets inside their hearts that are just for them, because they want to enjoy sense pleasure and they want to keep everyone else out of their heart. But the heart of a Vaishnava is pure and clean. And out of love, he wants the persons close to him to be in his heart, and he wants to be in the heart of those he knows. Yadad Patigrina Ruyam Prachati. Rupa Goswami describes this in his Upanishamrita. The exchange of love. You give a gift, you receive a gift. You give prasad, you receive prasad. You inquire confidentially from what's in your heart. And you volunteer what's in your heart to the other person. These are the modes of loving exchange. But persons who are not capable of love, they cannot reveal their minds to others. And therefore, they will look and smile to the person in the face and in the back, criticize them, or ridicule them, or in some way minimize them. So here is very interesting. This Padmavati, who has a tendency to gossip monger and think negative thoughts and talk about them, Balaram, Uddhava arranged for Padmavati to be somewhere else. Because envy and devotional service don't go. Just like oil and water, they cannot mix. Sometimes devotees think that the atmosphere in the temples and the ashrams where we're trying to be strict, or something wrong with us if we demand confidentiality, if we demand you know, loving exchange, we demand service attitude, but this is the nature of spiritual life. When Lord Chaitanya began the Sankirtan movement, he was having kirtan in the house of Srinivas, you know, Shivas, in Mayapur. And all the confidential devotees, the Panchatattva, and the most confidential lords, only the pure devotees were allowed inside. No one else was allowed inside. And some people became so upset because they couldn't go into the kirtan. Therefore, all the acharyas, all the scriptures, all the advanced devotees, they all say the same thing. Pitta raka maya krodha manmaya ma upashitaha bahamo jnana tapasa buddha mad bhavamaya. If one wants to think of Krishna, if one's desire is actually to meditate, to be absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, then vita, raga, maya, krodha. We have to give up raga, attachment, material attachment, attachment to matter. We have to give it up. We can't follow the regulative principles strictly unless we give these things up. And we can't get the mercy of Krishna without following the regulative principle. You can't jump over it. You can't think, now we're in Govardhan, now we're in Bhav, now we can, we're not, it's not important, we don't have to do this, we don't have to do that. No. We can't artificially try to act as if we're advanced when we're not. We have to adjust ourselves internally. We have to abandon. Just like if somebody comes and brings something, they say, I'm giving class here, and somebody brings some pot with some rancid food or some, you know, some bad smelling substance and puts it down in front of them. I'm just going to say, ouch, take it out. You know, if the garbage, you know, gets to the point where it's bad smell, then you just take it out. So inside ourselves, there are things, there are thoughts, there are things that we do that smell, that make a bad smell inside. Those things we have to give up. We have to actually take them out. And no one can do that for us. The spiritual master, giving the bhakti lata beach. The Bhakti Lata Beach is described by Srila Prabhupada in the fourth chapter of Adi Lila, Chaitanya Charitamrita, very nicely. He says the Bhakti Lata Beach is the instruction given by the spiritual master, the following of which results in you becoming transported, elevated, purified to know who you are. The Sahajas, they want to tell you immediately who you are. Oh, you're a gopi, or you're a tree. Desire tree, or you're a peacock, you're a cow, you're a gopa. And then, you know, I remember one time in Mayapur, there was one sannyasi who came into contact with, I won't mention names, but anyway, came in contact with a devotee who was kind of connected to Bhaktivinoda Thakur and who was giving the Siddha Pramali. So this devotee came in contact with, and that person told him that they were peacock in the spiritual world. So the next morning, we were chanting japa. We came into the room, and the sannyasi was going like this. He was chanting his japa, walking around the room, going like this. This way he was practicing becoming a peacock in the spiritual world. Foolish. Completely foolish. Foolish. But, you know, but he was very sincere. Oh yes, this is my Siddha Pranali. But, you know, his Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, asked him to do one thing, go here and do this. Well, I don't know, I have to do this, their parents are great excuses, you know. Doesn't feel like it, this is bad, I'm sick, I can't, this, that, the other. But he's going around like this. Very serious, you know. Walking like a peacock. So if you want to actually go there, to the spiritual world, if you want to actually live in Govardhan, we're living in Govardhan. But if we actually want to live in Govardhan, then we have to give up these things. We have to give up this gossip mongering, this talking behind people's backs about them. Not being willing to reveal the heart when you're in front of the person. Not wanting to reveal the heart, wanting to keep things secret. On the plea of who knows what, parakeya bhava, it's secret, you know, we can't tell anybody. It's all sahaja business. So now, Uddhava, who was Krishna's deepest friend in Dwarka, Uddhava is the most confidential friend of Dwarka. Krishna had sent Uddhava to Vrindavan just so he could see the love that the Vrajavasis had for him, so he could be enlightened, uplifted. So he came back fully surcharged devotional service. So he knows Krishna's mind very intimately. So he arranged that Padmavati would have service somewhere else. Because Krishna is about to talk confidential things. Sometimes we talk confidential things even when there are people in the room who are not confidential, in order to instruct, in order to try to elevate the atmosphere. But in general, confidential things don't come out unless you're with confidential people. So we'll stop here. Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments?
Like sometimes bad things, bad dreams, they're coming from inside. So
he's saying sometimes bad dreams and bad things are coming from inside.
How to take them out?
How to take them out? Well, you know, there are certain things that when you're in the material world, you will always experience. From lifetimes and lifetimes of being in the material world, sometimes in a dream, you may see something that happened to you many lifetimes ago, and you have no control over that. But you have control over what you do have, potential control over, is your waking state. While you're awake, you have to learn to take these things out. When you're sleeping at night and something comes and you have a bad dream, or a wet dream or something, these things you can't control. Eventually, you can control them, even in dreams. But that is a very advanced stage, and that comes from having learned to control your senses and your mind in the waking state. So first things first. First, learn to control your mind and your senses while you're awake. Don't worry about your dreams. Don't place too much faith in them. Don't place too much bad things in them. Don't worry about them so much, your dreams. They will come and go. Learn to control your mind and your senses while you're in your waking state, fixed.
Even in the waking state.
Then you have to control. Then you have to control. You have to reject them. Just like if somebody's talking to you. Just like if somebody's talking to you and somebody else comes and starts blah, 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 and you can't hear, right? You look at the person and you tell them to be quiet. Or, you tell them to go away. Or, you know, like sometimes when it's very noisy out here and I'm trying to work in the morning and there's crazy people around the loudspeakers, I listen to some music, I put on headphones, I put in earplugs, and I block out that sound. And then I can concentrate, even though the same thing is there. It's like if somebody's close to you but there's a glass partition, soundproof glass partition, he could be on the other side going, yelling at you and screaming at you, but you can't hear because there's a partition in between. So So if you concentrate your mind, if you learn to concentrate your mind on what you're doing in devotional service, then the distractions automatically go away. You don't have to artificially try to take out the distractions. You have to concentrate on what you're doing. If you concentrate on what you're doing for Krishna completely, then the distractions automatically go away. You don't have to try artificially to stop thinking about this or stop thinking about that. You have to concentrate on what you're doing for Krishna and try to do it as perfectly as possible. If you're doing something for Krishna mechanically and thinking about something else, yes, you know, 10 o'clock I'm going to do this, and 11 I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to do this, then the result of your service, whether it be deity worship or cooking or writing or managing or whatever, it will be sloppy. It will be sloppy. And what will be the result? People will look and they won't be satisfied. If Pujari is distracted and he worships the deities and everything looks, you know, like out of place, you know, the smile's over here, you know, and the crown is on the feet and the chudder is on the head and because he's just thinking about something and he's just not paying attention to what he's doing, then when you come in, you don't feel satisfied. Somebody's cooking and they're not paying attention, they're not caring, they're not giving love and devotion, then you taste it and you don't become satisfied. Or if somebody's lecturing and they actually have something else in their mind and it doesn't come out, you know, strong and clear and true, then it's not satisfying. Some people have not realized, you don't feel as satisfied. When somebody's realized, you feel more satisfied. Because the effort has to be to concentrate on what you're doing for Krishna, out of love. Then automatically your senses become controlled. Automatically your mind becomes controlled. If you're doing serious devotional service, then when you do your service, automatically these things become controlled. Okay, we'll stop there. Shri Bihat Bhagavatam Vatati Jaya Shiva Sanatana Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Prem Anandi Hari Om.